There's something says off here. Some kind of light thing, I think.
I think that's okay. It looks fine, eh?
It looks okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's okay. That might have always been there.
No, it is recording. It's some kind of, I think, bright light or something.
Oh.
Just don't want black videos.
Yeah.
If you don't mind the video.
Yeah, there's lots of people that are downloading it, so.
Yeah. Am I?
He was half in your legs.
No, I think I was standing the face.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I did a cleaning in the basement to this way.
I know, it's all readjusted, it's a lot.
You can even put it in the middle, that's okay. Yeah, why don't you put it in the middle facing it straight?
It would be straight.
Wow. Or actually, how about when you come forward? I think if you come forward, then
go forward, isn't it?
Oh, if I go.
Yeah. Right?
Okay, yeah, that's better.
Yeah.
Okay, so you stand here, and I'll stand on the back there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You go forward, I'll stay back. Mm-hmm. So that.
So it's ready?
Okay, it's running.
Okay, so let's bring in the scar. Everybody knows it. We'll do one round and then 30 seconds of Shavasana afterwards. Okay, you can begin at your own pace. Okay. We can adjust it a bit, I guess. So today we're going to do lessons 15 and 16. There's a discussion of bhakti yoga, the yoga of devotion. Amaroli, we'll come back to that at the end. Asanas. Dhanurasana, the bow pose. So this one is, it's not bad, it's twist my mat so you can see it properly. So you can start off lying in your stomach. Okay. Good?
Yep.
Okay. Just lift your feet up, grab one for ankle. Mm-hmm. And you relax. You inhale deeply, and at the same time you inhale, you hold your breath, and then you kind of lift yourself up on your stomach as high as you can by pulling with your legs against your arms. Okay, so I'll just demonstrate. And then you relax. Try it one more time. Inhale it up. And relax. Okay. Again, it's just yet another backward bending asana.
So in this one, you're not really breathing in and out, right?
That's right, no. Yeah. Again, it's good for it fully expands the lungs, right? Because of the pressure on the stomach when you inhale. Mm-hmm. It just opens all the alveoli, for the lungs. It has a bunch of other benefits too, plus it massages, helps massage the internal organs here because of the extra pressure. Again, basically I kind of alternate between the different backward bending poses. One day you do camel, one day you do bow, one day you do, locust and cobra, Just vary them, otherwise there's too many asanas that have been piling up, eh? The next one, in lesson 16, is the shoulder stand. Sarvadasana. So the shoulder stand is a very critical one, right? I mean, it's one of the most important asanas, actually, and it's one of those asanas that you can pretty much do every day. Right. There's several flavors of asanas. Forward bending asanas. There's backward bending asanas, and then this actually falls into the category of inverted asanas, where you have your legs up. So there's several, like Shavasana is one of them, Sarvadasana, and headstand is the other one. Right, and there's a few others. Then there's also twisting asanas, right? And again, this also qualifies as the fifth type of balance asanas that require you to concentrate on your balance, right? And this is very beneficial to invert the body, right? I mean, it drains all the blood out of your legs. Otherwise, your legs the blood sits there for too long without circulating to the rest of the body. So it's actually quite important to actually do this every day to get the blood out of the legs. And to circulate, and fresh blood will come back, to the legs. This particular asana has also an effect on the thyroid gland to help, the hormone balance, right? To help keep all your hormones in balance, the endocrine system. And also, there's a chakra here, Vishuddhi, and it gently stimulates that chakra as well. So there's lots of benefits. There's a huge list of benefits. I'm just touching on them briefly, but there's a huge list of benefits for this asana. So again, I recommend that everybody does it, on a daily basis, right? Anyways, I'll demonstrate. You can watch first while I demonstrate, and then you can give it a try afterwards. Right? So again, the key thing with any asana is to be in control, do it slowly and in control, right? So it's pretty straightforward. You just bring your feet up and, you know, straight. So, up. And you just keep going up onto your shoulders. Right. And then you stretch out your body. You get to the top. Right? So again, you may need to put your hands here to support your back if you can't get your back straight. Right? There's other variations too, right? I mean, once you get better at it, you can actually, try bringing your arms up altogether and just balance out your shoulders by themselves, right? Like that. Generally, you do this for about, 30 seconds to a minute or so is plenty, but you can do it like a couple minutes if you want, but I would say no more than like 2 or 3 minutes, right? And then you just come out of it the same way you went into it, right? Just very slowly and with control. Come down. Okay. So, I'm going to give that a try. Yeah, pretty good. Again, make sure you don't hurt yourself though, eh? I mean, try to be, make sure you stay in control. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. And then just breathe normally, right? Mm-hmm. And then whenever you feel you've had enough, you just come back down slowly. There's one other variation they give is doing it from the lotus posture. Right? It's interesting, actually. There's like lots of asanas that they do, just normally, and then they do it like again from the lotus posture. Again, they actually say the benefits are in fact not as good because the blood won't drain from your legs like this. But just for completeness, I'll just demonstrate this as well. Right. So again, same thing. You lie down, right? And you just come up. Right, and try to straighten your legs up like that. I have the feeling that, I won't even bother speculating why they would come up with this one. But, I can probably just to increase flexibility, I'm guessing, basically, right? To just continue to increase your flexibility in this asana, right? In Padmasana, so your legs, to combine the leg flexibility, right? So, next they have Ashwini Mudra. Actually, let's reset the camera. Move my mat back. So next is Ashwini Mudra. That is, contracting the muscles of the anus, right? So again, we'll talk about it a bit more when I get to that book. Actually, I'll skip it for now. I think that's it. That's all the asanas. Yeah. So the other thing I'll talk about a bit is, actually, let's do pranayama. So actually, the pranayama practice is actually it's the same as what I showed last month. Anyone trying a Jaladhara Bandh with their pranayam, Nadi Shodhana yet? Anybody trying that? Okay. Remember the neck lock, right? When you inhale, right? Mm. And you hold the neck lock. Right. Remember I showed you that last month?
Yeah, no, I remember.
Remember? Oh, that's right, you missed. You, do you remember?
Yes.
Yeah?
But I haven't...
You haven't tried it?
No.
Okay, so actually, I believe last month I showed you doing the neck lock after the inhalation and holding the breath, you do a neck lock. And then exhalation, you hold the breath out. Mm-hmm. And I also showed the neck lock, but actually, you should actually do 1 month. I believe it says here even... I'll just read it specifically. Okay, pranayama, right? So again, the ratio is still the same, right? 1-8-6-2, right? So inhale for 4, hold for 32, exhale 24, hold the breath out for 8, right? And so combining with Jaladhara Bandh, the neck lock. So then it says... okay, so the ratio for inner retention is 8. It is during this period that you should practice Jaladhara Bandh. At this stage, don't attempt to do Jaladhara Bandh with outer retention of breath. That comes actually this month. So for 1 month, whenever you get to this stage, you're going to do Jaladhara Bandh. So spend about 1 month doing it only on the inhalation. So you inhale, apply the Bandh, and then you exhale. Hold the breath out, don't do it, and then inhale again, hold it. The second month is, you actually do it on both inhalation and exhalation, right? From the practice, so the new practice, retain the same ratio. Now try to perform Jaladhara Bandh with both outer and inner retention. Okay? So that's what we'll do today. Actually, it's the same I showed last month, but we'll do it again today. So anyways, whatever level you're at for Nadi Shodhana, you can just do that, whatever ratio you're at. And again, you should be probably a retention of about 24 at least. You should be holding for about 24 seconds at least before you start to introduce Jaladhara Bandh right into the practice. Anyways, we'll go for about 5 minutes or so. So again, everyone knows Nadi Shodhana, so just go at your own pace for about 5 minutes. Again, just do a few rounds, you know, without any retention, and then add retention and counting. can finish your last round. So the last thing we'll talk about from this book is Amaroli. Anybody knows what that is?
I read about it. This was a big discussion at work because we work with natural health products, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so okay. All these traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurveda, so we had a discussion about it. And I was telling them that there is a purpose, but then they didn't understand and I said, no point.
Yeah. Yes, so I believe this is the last of the cleansing, purification type practices. So again, if you had a hard time with the other ones, this one's probably the most difficult to grasp. Mm-hmm. But the practice is drinking your own urine, basically. So again, from a scientific point of view, though, I mean. You can actually see that urine actually is very clean. It's actually clean. There's like no bacteria, nothing. It's actually sterile. And it's even, antiseptic. You know, you can use it too. He actually says right here, if you have a cut, a graze, a sore, you know, any kind of open wound, you can use urine to disinfect the wound actually, right? Yeah. Not only does it keep the wound clean and free from infection, right? But it also seems to aid in the speed of healing. Right. If you suffer from boils, pimples, you know, fungus infections, athlete's foot, you know, anything like that, you can just take some urine and put it on there, right, and it'll cure it pretty quick. So that's the kind of the external practice, right? Again, you can look it up on the internet. There's like world conferences. It's actually quite heavily studied and practiced. Urine therapy, you can look up. Amaroli doesn't have much of any hits, but urine therapy has a lot of hits.
Murarji Desai, right, from India.
That's right, the Prime Minister of India, yeah. Right? He publicly declared to the country that everyone should practice this, right?
Yeah.
So the internal therapy is, of course, is drinking it basically first thing in the morning. They say that after a good night's sleep, the urine that you produce first thing in the morning has the most beneficial contents, right? So here, there's a long list of diseases which can be treated with urine, you know, diabetes, kidney diseases, heart ailments, high blood pressure, edema, malaria, any type of fever, colds, asthma, menstrual disorders, piles, intestinal diseases, cancer, you know, I mean, just pretty much anything, right? Urine will cure pretty much anything. I'll send you the link to Martha Christie. She's an American, actually, and... you know, she had many severe health problems for like many years, right? And she tried all of the alternative practices, all of the medical practices, and nothing worked for her until she tried this. And this thing just cured her like nothing else could after suffering for like 20 years or something, with severe conditions in the hospital continuously. And, and it was quite a fascinating story to read. So, anyways, I'll send that to you.
I have a question. In this book, with all these practices, I haven't noticed much emphasis on the eating habits. It all depends on the whole thing, like how pure we eat and its effect, and then because whatever we eat or drink will affect either.
That's right.
Urine
exactly.
As well.
Yes.
So did you notice, did I miss anything about the food habits?
There's a couple chapters in the beginner course, right, about diet and vegetarianism, right? Again, very, very basic. Just eating, you know, fresh, natural food, basically. You know, avoid processed food. You know, and that's about it, right? It's pretty simple. If you want to get into diet in detail, though, Ayurveda will cover diet in a great deal of detail. So, again, it's a little bit outside the scope of this course, but again, perfect health, right? You've read that one, right? Deepak Chopra's, right? Yeah. So again, it sort of explains how you look at your body type, you examine your own, you know, your own body type, and you tailor your diet specifically for that body type.
But for this particular chapter, for enrolling to try, is it emphasis to improve a diet style before trying it?
Yes, they do kind of recommend that, right? So basically just simple food, right? And again, vegetarian food is recommended, right? That's about it, you know, just unprocessed, you know, fairly natural homemade food, essentially, and, you know, and vegetarian, ideally, right? So, yeah, they give these specific steps. You could actually fast on your urine. If you have, like, some severe ailment, I've read about people doing that as well, you know, where you just, 40 days, you just, you drink only your urine continuously, right? And you can cure almost anything. Like, I read one case of somebody curing tuberculosis by doing that, right? So, again, actually, they also say avoid some of the, so processed food and meat, you know, reduce your salt and spices, and avoid, you know, starch and heavy food as well, right? And stick mostly to fruits and vegetables, essentially, right? If you want to get the most benefits. Actually, Swami Arundhati, though, I asked her about this once too, about the diet, and she sort of said that, they just kind of let it happen naturally. Like, as you do the practice, just, you know, keep your normal diet, do the practice, and you'll automatically change your diet, right? It'll be like an automatic process, kind of what I've sort of emphasized all along. You know, if you do these practices, your diet will automatically become correct. Whatever is perfect for you, again, you should know that every person has a different diet which is perfect for them. What's good for one person may not be good for somebody else, right? So you have to kind of figure out for yourself what is the perfect diet for yourself, right? And you'll naturally go to that as you do these practices. So again, early morning, right? You drink the intermediate portion of the urine, right? So you urinate a bit, right, for a couple seconds, then you hold the flow, you stop it, you contract the urinary muscles and stop the flow. You know, get your cup. Again, they say, like, should be consumed from, like, an earthen vessel or a copper vessel. Basically, any kind of, you know, just don't use plastic, basically, but, like, glass is fine, you know, stainless steel, you know, any kind of, like, you know, natural container of some sort. And then you collect the middle portion. So, again, you stop the flow again just before you're done, right? And then you keep your glass to the side, finish urinating another few seconds, whatever's left. And then you drink down the stuff you collected. Again, they give various recommendations, right? I mean, you can try again. Again, we've been raised with a severe mental block towards our urine. We've been told our whole life that it's something dirty. You have to, like, stay away from it. You shouldn't come anywhere close to it, right? You should, like, have to wash yourself if it touches you anywhere, right? So that's probably the biggest problem, is coming over the mental block for doing this practice. But, you know, again, you can try, so they recommend you try, like, externally first, right? Try just, you know, I don't know, if you have a boil or something, just try putting on your boiler, pimple, or if you have, you know, some kind of problem, just try and see. Basically, the way that works is you let it sit for, like, you know, 5 or 10 minutes on your skin, and then you shower afterwards, right? And just, you know, clean yourself normally, and then see what happens, right? Right, again, you can drink it throughout the day. Probably just morning is plenty, though. You can gargle with it for a sore throat, right? You can actually do jalnati with urine instead of water, right? Right? So, a lot of possibilities. I've tried it all, actually. I've tried everything, so just to see what it's like, right? So that's it. That's it for this book. So we're into the month 2 practices, which is for the next chakra. So last month we did the practices for awakening the Ajna chakra, so between the eyebrows, and actually in the main chakra is actually in the center of your head, the top of your spine, kind of in the center of your head. So again, if you've been doing the Anulom Vilom Pranayashuddhi, Tratak, and Shambhavi Mudra, right, with the Om chanting, if you've been practicing those for the last month, you should have, you know, awakened, you know, Ajna chakra by now, right? And you should actually not only feel here between your eyebrows, but you should be able to start to feel it in the center of your head as well, right? If you haven't yet awakened the Ajna chakra, you should continue with those practices, at least 5 minutes of, you know, each one, right? Anulom Vilom Pranashuddhi, 5 minutes of Tratak, and then 5 minutes of Om chanting with, you know, Shambhavi Mudra and Om chanting, right? Then after that, you can do the practices for Muladhara chakra. So now we move from the top chakra to the base of the spine, right? The actually blow that even. Well, I'll describe it now in detail, right? So this chakra, what's interesting about this chakra is now, so Ajna chakra, as we said last week, doesn't actually contain any samskaras or vasanas, right? So when you awaken the Ajna chakra, there's no strange things that happen, let me put it that way. Muladhara chakra is most famous for being the seat of sexual desire, right? So your sexual cravings come from Muladhara chakra. So when that chakra is fully awakened and purified, actually you will actually eliminate sexual desire and you'll, you know, become celibate essentially, right? Just like celibacy will become very easy, you know, for someone who's purified their Muladhara chakra, right? Actually one more thing before I forget, there's a... So actually one more very important point about Amaroli that he mentions in here, which I didn't actually haven't read anywhere else except in here. So the word Amaroli means immortal. And through this practice, one is freed from many diseases. Practicing Amaroli over a prolonged period also produces a hormone known as prostaglandin, which destroys the ova and prevents conception from taking place. Right, so in women, right? So if you do this over a long time period of time, you'll actually no longer be able to have children, in fact. So you should actually, again, with a lot of this stuff, like searching for enlightenment, it's basically something you do when you're kind of finished with the, you know, you're done having your kids, and you're kind of looking for what's the next thing in my life, right? So, but if you do plan to have kids still, probably avoid Amaroli, right? Okay.
That's okay, we're done.
Yes, so again, like he says, though, it'll cure all diseases and everything else, though, right? I mean, the benefits are enormous, in fact, from that practice. So Muladhara chakra is basically the seat of sexual desire. And again, there's a big discussion of that, in the section on chapter 18, Muladhara chakra in here. You can read that. And then the practices are on 29. So Muladhara chakra and Svadhisthana chakra are almost in the same location, right? So Svadhisthana chakra is at the pubic bone, on the shastrams in the front, and at the tailbone at the back, Svadhisthana chakra. So this month we're going to focus on Muladhara chakra. So the first thing we'll talk about is the location of it. So again, the location is different in men and women, right? We're going to talk about, the sexual organs a bit, so in a PG discussion if given before anybody on the video. So they have a diagram here. It's actually on the PDF on the website too, right? The female anatomy, the male anatomy, and where the points are, right? So the three spiritual points you need to concentrate. So at the anal, right, the opening of the anus is one point. So Ashwini Mudra activates that one. Again, this will help activate Svadhisthana chakra, right, at the tailbone, which is just back here at the tailbone. So again, women, it's the same place. Muladhara chakra in men is just, between the penis and the anus, right there. There's a point just in between, right? That's where Muladhara chakra is in men. In women, from the vagina up to the womb, just at the opening of the womb, actually, is where the Muladhara chakra is in women, right? And then the urinary area, so for men, just at the top of the pubic bone, above the penis is where the Svadhisthana Kshetram is. And for women, it's in the urinary tract, just in front of the kidneys, right? So again, you need to contract each of these muscles. So like when you do, if you practice, you know, holding back the flow of urine, right? You basically have to contract, the Vajoli Mudra, that's the first point in the urinary tract. And then, So again, the first thing you do is actually to, again, to kind of isolate these three sets of muscles, right? So you practice just, you know, swini mudras, so squeezing the anal muscles. So then try to squeeze them in isolation. So don't contract any of the other muscles in the pelvic floor area. Just do the anal muscles, right? And then try doing just the urinary muscles without any other muscles. And then the idea is to isolate the muscles around Muladhara chakra. So again, the vaginal muscles in women. And for men, it's the perineum, right? So again, one thing that can help you do this is to actually just use to just touch the point with your finger, right? So again, usually in the bathroom, when I started doing this, you know, just in the bathroom, you know, you just... So for men, I'll read the description for men first, right? So you just press one finger on the perineum right in that point there, right? Then at the same time, you try to contract the muscle. So try to get a feel of the muscle contracting, right? To try to isolate so your mind can know where that muscle is and you can just be able to, like, contract it, right? And that's about it for men. Men is pretty simple. Because again, it's pretty close to the outside of the body. For women, it's a bit more difficult, right? Because you have to somehow find out where the opening of your womb is, right? So again, what they say is to take your finger, you know, insert it into your vagina as far as it will go, right? And then you contract the vaginal muscles, right? And just start to feel your vaginal muscles deeper, as deep as they go, right? And basically squeeze your finger, right? And you contract up beyond the tip of your finger even, basically, right? And then eventually at some point you'll find and just try to see just beyond the tip of your finger where the womb is, right? And try to concentrate in that area and contract the muscles in that area, the cervix actually, right? So the first practice is, again, it's different for men and women, right? Because now you want to breathe. You want to imagine the breath is flowing in and out of the Muladhara chakra, right? So again, everything is done in Siddhasana. So again, sit in Siddhasana if you can. So again, for men, you press the heel against the perineum, right, to give pressure on that point where you're going to contract the muscle. So they help you to concentrate on that point. For women, it's either in front of the vagina or actually inside the vagina. Again, as we explained, the proper clothing to allow you to do that. In the beginner course. So for men, I'll read the description quickly for men and for women, right? So you focus your mind on the Muladhara chakra, right? The perineum in men, cervix in women. Become aware of the breath and imagine the breath is flowing in and out of this point, right? Imagine the breath is becoming very fine and like it's piercing the point, actually kind of like a needle almost is like piercing in and out as you breathe in and out, right? And again, just do that for like about 5 minutes, right? Would be the normal practice. For women, because your heel is quite a ways away from the actual chakra point, you actually imagine the flow of breath is along the vagina, right? So from the cervix, along the vagina to the heel, and then from the heel back up. Through the vagina to the cervix, right? So you just flow the breath up and down in that region, right? And eventually the chakra will awaken and you'll actually feel it. So then once you feel it, then you know where it is, right? So the trick is to actually know where the chakra is, right? So the main thing, again, to do all the Kundalini Kriyas, you just have to know, the main thing is you have to know where exactly the chakra is so you can take your mind there easily, right? And that's about it. So you can practice that for like, just maybe 1 minute or so. Just imagine the breath is flowing in and out of the chakra. Right? Thank you. Okay. Yeah. So in this practice, you don't actually you don't contract it. So you just relax the muscles for this practice. Relax the muscles and just focus on the breathing. Okay. So again, you do that for just about 5 minutes. There's actually several practices here. So the next practice is actually contracting the muscles now, right? Combining that with breath retention, and actually Jalandhara Bandh as well, right? So again, this is something we'll add to Nadi Shodhana next month. But for now, you just practice it kind of in isolation. So for the second practice, what you do is you just, you know, again in Siddhasana, you inhale fully as much as you can. You then contract, you know, the muscles that you kind of like discovered, you know, the vaginal muscles or the perineal muscles. Contract them, pull them in and up as much as you can. And you hold that with Jaladhara Bandh, and you hold your breath at the same time. You kind of hold your breath, the contraction of those muscles, for like, you know, 30 seconds, around, you know, 20 to 30 seconds basically. And then you release. Breathe normally for a bit. And then again, inhale deeply, hold your breath, Jaladhara Bandh, Mula Bandh, and hold it again for about 20, 30 seconds, right? So we'll try that once. So just inhale fully, hold it, and then contract. Jaladhara Bandh, so neck lock, and then Mula Bandh. And then relax and breathe. Okay. Can try one more time. So again, inhale fully, and then apply the two locks and hold your breath. We'll do 30 seconds this time. And relax. So again, should do that about again for about 5 minutes. You know, do that like 4 or 5 times or so, right? So the next one is doing contractions 1 per second, right? So now you contract, either synchronize with your heartbeat. If you're aware of your heartbeat, you synchronize it with every beat of the heart. You just contract, relax, right? Or you just count seconds, basically. You know? You contract, relax, very rhythmic, a rhythmic contraction, relaxing, right? So let's, we can try that one for about a minute, right? So now you're just going to contract, relax in a rhythmic fashion, okay? Right. So again, do that for about 5 minutes. And what you'll find is that after you've done all these practices, about 5 minutes each, right? you'll actually find that the chakra is actually starting to throb at this point, right? You can actually feel it now, right, without doing anything. So so basically, like the pulse will start to throb in that point, right? So the next practice is actually to now, you know, stop all physical contractions and just kind of focus on the throbbing, right? So now you basically try to like just mentally contract it. So don't have any, you know, just focus on the throbbing essentially, right? To, and just mentally kind of like, you know, imagine the throbbing. If you don't actually feel the throbbing, just imagine it. Contraction, relaxation, but don't do anything physically, right? So you can do that for like another minute or so. Just focus on it, right? See if you can feel the throbbing. Okay. So the final practice for a Muladhara chakra is Nasikara Drishti, or Aguchari Mudra, I think it's called in this book. That's gazing at the nose tip, right? So again, it's very simple. You just stare at your nose tip, right? You just try to stare as long as you can at your nose tip. Again, ideally without blinking, but if you blink, you know, you just, it's fine. And, you know, and if your eyes get tired, you just relax them for a bit and then do it again, right? Again, just 5 minutes or so of this as well. At some point, you kind of start to, you know, just have your awareness like on the nose tip and maybe feel the breath as well, you know, the breath in the nostrils. Right? Feel the breath moving in and out through the nose. At the same time, become aware of the subtle sound the breath makes as it moves through the nasal passages. Right? Be aware of the nose tip, the movement of the breath, and the accompanying sound. And continue for about 5 minutes. So, again, just for about, you know, 1 or 2 minutes, we can practice that. Again, also, if you have trouble concentrating your nose, you can use your finger to bring your eyes to your nose tip, then move it away, and then just stare at your nose tip and concentrate. Okay, and relax your eyes. You can actually do palming after this one is good, right? So just rub your hands, heat your hands up a bit. And then just rest them on the eyes. Okay. So again, basically there is a spiritual link between the tip of the nose and Muladhara chakra directly. So again, this is a very easy way, because it's easy to concentrate on your nose tip, right? Not so easy to perhaps find a Muladhara chakra, but then this will directly awaken the chakra for you, right? So one of the things you might notice is that, again, just like I was saying, it's the seat of sexual desire, so any kind of samskaras, vasanas associated with sexual desire might get awakened, and you might find your sexual desire kind of like fluctuates. It increases a lot, decreases a lot over the course of these practices. But eventually you'll come to the point whereby you actually, eliminate sexual desire completely, right? Again, if you read Anastasia, she says that's the best way to conceive children, actually, is when you have no sexual desire, right? Then you'll conceive enlightened children, in fact, right? So again, one thing you might want to try as well is, just to kind of understand what happens during, the sexual act, right? Is just before, you orgasm, just to apply Muladhara Bandh, right? Contract the perineum or the Muladhara Bandh just before that, and try to hold it through the entire, through the orgasm and see what effect you feel. That's your, another one of your homework assignments, you can try it out. Mm-hmm. And that's it for Mula Bandh and Muladhara Chakra. Again, we'll meet March 13th, back the second Saturday of the month, for the next chakra. Any questions? Okay, so that's it for today. See you then.